Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Ho, 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 you filthy animals.
So we are here, the final episode of 2016.
And the main emphasis of this show is going to be next week, you guys.
Well, not really.
Oh, yeah.
Not really. We have plenty to talk about
this week. No, we do. Especially on the SmackDown side of things. You know, because it basically had like a cable pay-per-view, essentially, with all the big matches, and then Cena coming back. But before we get to that, like, because we're going to do the Classies next week, spoiler
yes.
alert. Classies where, you know, we do all of our...
It's the real award, especially now that the Slammies are apparently gone.
Yeah, so really...
This is the only wrestling award that matters.
Precisely what I was going to say. But I guess, like, just kind of an overarching thing, like, how, like, I don't know, what does this year, like, represent to you with WWE, you know?
I will say, looking back over the year, because, like, general year and wrap, because basically all the wrestling of 2016 has happened.
Right.
I will say, for as dumpster fire as the rest of 2016 has been outside of wrestling, wrestling has had a swell 2016.
Right, yeah. Because we saw a pretty decent improvement in the quality of weekly shows for WWE after the brand split.
Yeah, and the brand split hit about halfway through the year.
Roughly, yeah.
We saw some stumbles. We saw some figuring things out.
And honestly, like the main shows weren't terrible before.
No.
You know, well, at least Raw wasn't. Like, there was no emphasis on SmackDown whatsoever before the brand split. But it was, you know, it was a pretty solid year even up to that point. But I feel like this year will really be the one where it's like WWE's kind of ready to throw everything at the wall. Like, everything is, everything is fair game, you know?
Well, I think you've seen so much improvement, especially because of how complainy we were about the beginning of the year. Specifically the road to WrestleMania, the Rumble, and how WrestleMania 32 played out.
And now we're about to find out, you know, if they've learned their lesson. My guess is probably not. At least when it comes to their main event.
But if you look at it, since then, the brand split has been all around positive.
Yeah.
For the
vast majority, yeah.
For wrestling as a whole, the brand split has had a great deal of improvement.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys have really stepped up and shown. And we'll get into this more next week, as into specifics as to who gets the awards.
Sure.
But thinking about, like, so since WrestleMania, all three members of the Shield have held the championship title.
There was a point where
within
all,
5 minutes of each other,
all in the same night. Yeah.
The Goldberg thing happened.
Sure.
Whether you thought it was a good idea or a bad idea,
Shane came back.
Mm-hmm.
So and that on top of the Cruiserweight Classic, the them signing up more and more talent that I don't want to say we never thought would be in WWE, but it seemed like it was probably a slim chance that they would make
Nobody was holding their breath for these guys to be in WWE.
On top of the, you know, the UK Championship announcement that's going to be happening in a couple weeks. Just a lot of these things where it's just like...
It felt like the network has really come into its own this year.
Yeah.
I mean, the first couple of years, the network... Other than NXT and the pay-per-views, there wasn't a whole lot. And then there was a lot of stuff like we spoke positively about. But
now, when it comes to like their weekly program outside of like actual in-ring action, it seems kind of still a little bit lost as far as like its original content.
See, I think it's starting to feel fuller. Because initially it was like Legends House and clip shows. And clip shows.
Sure.
And clip shows.
Right. Or documentaries or best ofs or lists.
And the fact that... And obviously your mileage may vary on the quality and worthwhileness of a lot of these shows. But the fact that they have two different animated shows the fact that they have Holy Foley, which is a full-fledged reality TV show,
right,
with the you know, camera setup and the budget production level of something that would be on E or on...
And, you know, on top of that, you know, also on the reality side of, but more of like a documentary style, was with the NXT show that they did. I forget.
Breaking Ground.
Yeah. That was earlier this year. And I would be really interested if they did that again, you know?
Just the fact that money is being poured into these shows, and this isn't necessarily a positive comment on the quality of the shows, but the fact that they are starting to fill out in variety, and it's not just more wrestling, which, you know, obviously it's a wrestling podcast. Mm-hmm. I would like more wrestling, sure. But they are having wrestling. They have the 205. They have the NXT.
Yeah.
They are,
I'm assuming having the UK.
The UK show, stuff is going to be.
And from the sounds of things, that might not be a special case. Like, we might have more of those filling out, which means we're just going to have way too much wrestling to watch.
But the fact that they are filling up
this
network, the fact that pretty much all of Raw is on there now. I think 100% of Raw is, except for the newer ones, past 30 days, as there's always is their limit.
And I see that possibly changing in the future.
Yeah.
I know USA has always been really gung-ho about maintaining their, you know, wrestling on their Mondays and Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually it's going to come to the point where, you know, Vince is going to want it to be almost exclusive on there so he can get all the money.
Well, and there's, you know, in the... not WWE realm, TNA has been in the news a lot.
Yeah.
And while I mean that isn't like TNA is this weird, bizarro roller coaster
ride. Although now it thrill seems ride. Like they've found some sort of stability.
Yeah, they do have some stability. But with, I mean, all the Final Deletion happened this year, which had people talking about wrestling, had wrestling in the mainstream.
Yeah.
I mean, and on one level, that's always going to be a good thing for our weird sideshow package of entertainment that is pointed and left.
The quality of it's going to make, you know, outsiders look at this and be like, wow, wrestling's gotten weird, and just assume that it's all like that, and it's very much not.
It's not, but I think the Final Deletion did more good for wrestling than bad.
Sure, no, I'm not saying it you know, took the entire industry back, you know, decades, because it didn't. It was, I don't know, I do feel like it did more good than bad, and, you know, and the exposure, most of all, is what helped, especially for TNA. Because honestly, if it wasn't for this Final Deletion stuff, I don't know how they get through 2016.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. But New Japan is more and more on the map.
More and more on the map. They're, I believe they've launched a English speaking specific version of their on demand service.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestle Kingdom 11 is going to be in a few days on a Wednesday this year, Wednesday night, like January 4th, I believe. The card looks amazing. I haven't been paying as much attention as I should have, mostly because, you know, my favorite wrestler of all time is now on NXT and not on New Japan, so pardon. But I am really looking forward to Okada versus Kenny Omega.
And just the fact of, like, even tiny small things, like What Culture has a pro wrestling thing.
Yeah.
Where they're...
And that felt really bizarre when that first started, you know?
It did.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's the biggest example. It's easy to seek out... you know, independent wrestling now.
Yeah.
The
ease of access is getting pretty incredible now.
Yeah. And a big thing was when the cruiserweight stuff started, and it was like, here's this list of 32 names, and just hours upon hours upon hours of YouTube rabbit holes going in 1,000 different directions.
Yeah.
Digging through and sorting through and all of this footage, all of these independent shows, like, here's an entire match.
Mm-hmm.
Here's, you know, a full card ready to go. Just, there you go.
And it's all now led to, like, a resurgence of Neville's WWE career. Because, honestly, like, the more and more this keeps going, the more I'm becoming impressed with his heel work.
Yeah.
In WWE, considering like just how bland they've had him on as a face before this, and we're kind of starting to see that a little bit with Seth Rollins. There's not much. There doesn't seem to be much substance in his face turn.
I think it's becoming more and more clear that it takes a rare and special person to be able to make the say your prayers, eat your vitamins style of pure clean baby face work.
Yeah.
Like, and it's
because right now Raw's got, as far as like, you know, white meat baby face type, you know, gosh darn it, we're going to give it our best try kind of face. Right now it's Bayley and maybe Sami Zayn. That, yeah. At least the only ones that are convincing and compelling.
Yeah.
Honestly, as far as face-wise goes, I feel like SmackDown is doing a lot better job of developing their faces.
Well, and because their faces are interesting. They have edge and bite.
Right.
And if you want to talk about, you know,
all the things that they wish Roman Reigns had.
Well, if you want to do, like, golly gee shucks faces, you basically have prime Hulk Hogan and John Cena.
Sure.
Like, there's really not... There, you can make arguments for other things, obviously, but I don't think you can make arguments for anybody else on the level of those two guys.
And I'm glad you brought up that wretched name. I'm assuming you watched SmackDown.
Of course.
There was a little bit of heelness in that Cena speech. So, wasn't there?
I need to bring up...
I'm not the only one that
the big shocker of the John Cena return... He did not. He came out like you were expecting, but he did not do the thing we were all expecting, which was change his shirt color.
No, yes.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I know.
I just assumed.
He still has that that recycled Roman Reigns logo.
I just assumed he was going to have a new shirt. Yes,
everyone take a good hard look at that t-shirt that he's wearing. That
we know, Chris. We know.
It's Roman Reigns.
This is the
John
hill.
Cena has never done that pose before.
This is the hill you choose to die on.
Because it looks weird. It looks like I won't say a whole lot, but it looks like if Roman Reigns cut off all of his hair and then like got like 40% more pale.
So John Cena came back. John Cena's okay. Another thing, as we get into talking about John Cena,
yeah.
Another thing about this year, John Cena's wrestled 2 months out of the year,
maybe. Yeah. He came back a little bit, like a couple months before the brand split, and he wrestled for a couple months after the brand split, and then he left again to do the show. Obviously, the injury ate into a lot of his wrestling time this year.
While John Cena hasn't been the frustrating, shoved in your face, you know, epitome of WWE wrestling for the past couple of years, the way he was late 2000 and, you know, basically 2007 to 2012.
Yeah.
He was still always there as this failsafe for WWE.
Yeah.
We still had this when in doubt, John Cena gets put back in the main title picture or in the main event picture.
But even now, it just feels like he's just part of the cast of characters and not the feature.
And it was forced by injury, which is always going to have to be for WWE to lose that John Cena crutch.
Right.
But it happened, and like, not that I'm wishing injury so it'll happen. But
in a way, it was good for them, especially
part
at that
of what
time.
Was good about 2016 is we got a huge amount of development for a lot of people because so many of the old mainstayers were out.
Right.
John Cena being the
main
poster
one.
Boy for that.
And, you know, you had a little bit of involvement of part-timers leading up to WrestleMania, but by and large, it was shouldered by almost a new cast or new crop of characters. But, you know, going into the summer, you know, you had a lot of dependency on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and then more and more dependence on Miz and Ziggler. So you're seeing, like, not necessarily new faces, but you're seeing, you know, more of a cast of characters shoulder the weight of these shows rather than just on John Cena's shoulders.
So John Cena came back, obviously with a little bit more bite to him than we've seen in the past.
A lot of the, you know, enough of this new era BS was the line that caught me.
Well, and so he was on Talking Smack, and he was flat out asked, like, are you a part-timer now? You said a bunch of mean things about The Rock a few years ago.
He was like, yeah, no, that was dumb of me. Which, honestly, I like that answer.
It was just interesting.
Admitting the mistakes of his younger self, you know?
Because the last time he was on Talking Smack, going into Payback, I think, he was basically asked, you said all these things about The Rock, and
yeah,
and now it's you.
Yeah.
And he did a really good promo where he spelled out the differences between what he was doing and what The Rock was doing.
And now he's basically admitting fault and be like, yeah, I'm pretty much doing the same thing. What's up?
Which, like,
yeah, it's very, like, the continuity of that is not very existent.
Well, it's very interesting because this is basically John Cena's, like, I'm back, I love this place, I'll never leave statement. When The Rock does that, it's like, yeah, that's cute, whatever. When Undertaker does that, it's like, yeah, it's cute, but you're still really kind of past, you know, the age thing. It's still there. Okay, cute.
Or you're just going to sit back and like, huh, that's weird that you said that, but we don't believe you.
But when John Cena does it, I still feel like, and maybe it's the, like, naivety young child in me.
Right. Or the fact that, you know, even though he'll be gone for long spurts of time, he will still be, when he comes back, we assume, you know, barring injury, he's back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Batista when he came back, but we're assuming probably for a little bit longer until John Cena needs to shoot season 3 of his weird, horrible reality show.
Well, it feels a lot more like John Cena, more so than The Rock, is doing these non-WWE things for the glory of the big W.
Right. Rock is doing it for his own career.
Right.
That's the big difference.
Right.
Which, you know,
It felt very early on that The Rock was doing it for the glory of the big W. Like, Mummy Returns, Scorpion King.
Yeah, and that pretty much ended there. Yeah. Then it comes, like, how can I...
Well, the first time Rock hosted Saturday Night Live was very much for the glory of the big W.
Right. And that, I didn't feel that with Cena this time around.
Well,
with him hosting SNL.
He is... There was a period there, probably around Be Cool, around Walking Tall, where The Rock...
I think Walking Tall was, I think, the last one he did when he was still making WWE appearances.
So, Walking Tall... Scorpion King, he was billed as The Rock.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Walking Tall came out the next year. He was billed as Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Right.
2005, The Game Plan, that Disney movie where he had a surprise daughter.
Yes.
That was, I think, the last time he was billed as Dwayne The Rock Johnson. After that, he was just billed as Dwayne Johnson.
Right.
And so it felt like there was some shame in his past.
Right.
There. Which, you know, I will say, hurt a little bit.
It did.
Like, I didn't want it to, but I was like, man, that's... Like, this is where he got, and so...
Right, and he also, like, because I feel like, I think he talked about how, like, that was kind of a, not a dark period, but it was, like, a period where he was kind of down on himself because those movies didn't really do all that well, you know, and they were pretty, como se dice, awful. And that's when, like, around that time is when he got back in contact with Vince and kind of started up things back in 2011, and then, you know... His career took off, he also, you know, pretty much had a closer connection with WWE, at least more on a consistent level.
I will say,
a year, but still.
Since he came back, and, like, I know we make fun of the he says he's back and then he disappears again, but since that
But he's been time, back at least once every year.
He's been back at least once a year, and a big thing is he's The Rock on Twitter.
Yeah,
like
at The Rock. Yeah,
he's at The Rock, and he started. I think that was about the time he started having a Twitter. Was, around the time he came back.
Yeah,
but he's always done that, and he mentions WWE fairly often.
Sure,
on Twitter, he's proud of these guys for whatever happening.
Throwback Thursdays. He'll post old WWE stuff, or tell like old stories on, you know, how he would thank Jerry Lawler for helping him get a start or training him or whatever. Something like that.
And so that's a big thing. Yeah. And part of that is with, when The Rock hosted WWE most recently, mm-hmm. or sorry, when he hosted Saturday Night Live most recently, he did. He had a wrestling themed sketch in there. It was him, Bobby Moynihan.
Yeah, and that's a lot because Bobby Moynihan's a huge.
It is, but that's something that, like, I don't know if 2005, 2006 Rock would have done.
No, probably not. He probably wouldn't have. But honestly, 2005, 2006 Rock probably wouldn't have gotten an invitation.
Well, he hosted Saturday Night Live somewhere in there.
Was it?
I think so. I think
because I know he hosted while he was in WWE, and I think he hosted one other time, and that was when he did the Hulk version of Barack Obama. The Rock Obama, which was after, obviously, 2008, after he was elected.
I think he's done it at least three times, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But that's... I feel like John Cena's jumping straight into that point.
Sure.
And I will say, I think 2016 is the least we're going to see of John Cena for a while. I'm guessing 17, 18...
We'll see.
He'll be off... For 2 to 3 months, but I think he'll be...
Again, he was not that off base when he said, he's about to hit 40, and that's usually a big time when a lot of wrestlers' bodies start to kind of break down.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, not Kane. Kane got in better shape the older he got.
Kane's a safe wrestler, man.
Yeah, he's not, like... He doesn't really do anything spectacular in the ring these days, but
well, and
he's still, like... When you look back whenever... he was no mask Kane at all.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at what kind of shape he was then compared to now, and he's in really good shape now.
Yeah. Well, and you make fun of Five Moves of Doom, but it's part of what has kept him, fairly ring ready.
Yeah. And now you're seeing him kind of like pull some more stuff out of the bag now that he's fighting former Ring of Honor guys.
Yeah.
And, he's getting a little hurt more than often because he's almost 40. It happens.
But I suspect we're getting probably 2017. I wouldn't be surprised if we got a solid 8 months of John Cena.
Yeah.
Same with 18. As we get into 2019, 2020, 2021, we'll probably get that, like, okay, we'll get Road to WrestleMania, Cena, and then either SummerSlam or Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Like
tier kind of thing.
And then probably as we get to 24, 25, he'll be making WrestleMania appearances.
You think he's going to be doing it that long?
I absolutely think John Cena will be wrestling at 50.
All right.
With not a doubt in my mind.
All right.
He'll eventually go Undertaker.
Sure.
Like, if they would let Hogan would be wrestling at WrestleMania 33.
Do you think? And I'm getting into my, like, kind of a smug, like, I wonder stance, which I didn't know I had one just now. Do you think that there will ever come a day where John Cena will get the kind of like return reaction that like Undertaker gets?
I don't know.
I mean, it's going to be a while, or fans are still going to be like, I remember we used to boo this guy. Let's boo him again just for nostalgia. We don't really hate him, but let's boo him.
I think nostalgia is a all-powerful thing. That, like, because if you use the Undertaker's example, there are people clamoring for Biker Taker.
Right.
Yeah. And you know what? You can probably dig into the archives of this podcast and you will find me saying something like, we need another Biker Taker run before he goes up. I'm really missing Biker.
Right.
And I am. And if Undertaker came out as Biker Taker, I would pop for that.
Sure.
I would ridiculously pop for that. And that was a terrible concept that went on for way too long.
It was. I don't know if I would say that I want to see that. I don't know. I would like to see some sort of like something new from Undertaker, especially if he's going to come back on a somewhat regular basis, if we are to believe what he said. We shouldn't. But like a more like kind of like a mixture of like Biker Taker with, the real Mark Calloway. Yeah, that kind of thing.
At this point in Undertaker's career, I don't need anything new from Undertaker.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if he's going to show up on a fairly recent or fairly, consistent basis, which, again, I don't see it happening, but even if he's just a character, not necessarily in-ring, I would like to see, not anything too far off of off base, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like with Chris Jericho right now. You know, he's not too far off of what he's always been, at least right. since he came back in, like, what, 07 or whatever. But, you know, it's still enough of a change that he's getting over in a different way.
I will say, going back and watching, not even that long ago, like mm-hmm. when Undertaker had legit feuds against, like, Jeff Hardy and CM Punk.
Sure.
Like, where he was on SmackDown enough to have...
On a weekly basis, yeah. He would take a few months off here and there, but mm-hmm. yeah, he was mostly working a full-time schedule.
It is weird to go back and watch those SmackDowns, how much The Undertaker talks.
Yeah.
Because in these past five
barely or first years,
he barely says everything. It's mostly grunts, and it's mostly...
Rest in peace.
It's rest in peace or vague, like, your soul will be mine, you know... Bad video game villain dialogue.
Sure.
Which works for The Undertaker 112% of the time.
Because usually it's a very rare appearance.
Right.
But if he's on the show every week...
He can't do that.
He can't do that, even if he's on the show every week for like a month.
And so... I don't know. I don't think he needs to... I don't think he needs to branch out at all.
Okay.
I think that... I mean, if he is back for one last real run, mm-hmm. Which suspicious about.
Sure.
But let's say that he is. Let's say he's back for
right.
one
I
last
would still need some
4 month run.
Right. I would still need some sort of substance, you know what I mean?
Well, but I'm saying if he's back for 4 months, mm-hmm. that's 16 episodes. Of SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
and let's say 3 pay-per-views, because it'll be around WrestleMania, so it'll be around the big gap.
Sure.
So, 16 episodes of SmackDown, mm-hmm. 3 pay-per-views. I don't want any of that time wasted on, let's try and tweak the character.
Right, yeah.
And because going back into, like, I actually have a point to make, I'm going to lay this out, and I'm going to actually cut... a wrestling promo on this guy.
Right.
Is going to be weird enough after 5 to 7 years of, you
not
know,
saying much.
Of, yeah, your soul will rest in eternal damnation, eyes roll, back of my head kind of thing.
But he's got holes to fill. Or whatever he said.
See? I don't need that.
Taking souls and digging holes?
Anyway.
Is that what he said?
I'm trying to talk about John Cena here.
Let's fill some holes, you guys.
I'm trying to talk about John Cena here.
Undertaker with a new Rule 34 gimmick.
We've got... So John Cena, first of all, John Cena when AJ Styles came out on Talking Smack.
Yeah.
And John Cena basically said, the only reason you didn't beat me was because my shoulder wasn't 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. What?
No, it's just, I don't know. There's, I'm like, Cena, come on, dude.
Well, so that is not, like, Cena, white meat babyface Cena, would never make excuses.
Right. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
Like, would not even come close to being like, the only reason I win is da 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 da. Now, That John Cena also never lost clean. That John Cena,
right.
We all knew why he didn't win, because it was blatantly obvious that the Nexus had invaded.
Right.
But later in the thing, he says, you know, AJ Styles won fair and square, 100% clean match.
And now he's like, oh, if you think you took my best shot, you got another thing coming. I'm like, why were you saving your best shot? Like, use it then.
So, I don't know. It's an interesting thing. Cena's obviously going to break Ric Flair's record.
Yeah.
They can't help but bring it up every time he comes on.
Sure. Until it actually happens, yeah, it has to come up.
Barring catastrophe, career-ending injury, mm-hmm. Cena's breaking the record. So I hope he breaks the record in a cool, interesting way, not in a let's check the boxes fill the numbers out of necessity way.
Right.
Because you have two, you have tie the record and you have break the record. So you have two really cool victories to mess with.
I think break the record might be like further down the line, you know?
Well,
tie the record, it's happening.
I don't want him to hot potato that title just with AJ Styles between Rumble and WrestleMania,
right?
Just to get there.
Yeah.
So I think you you have two things that you can do a lot with, be very interesting, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Don't squander it.
No,
you will not have this again for 30 years.
Yeah,
like I doubt it. Maybe 20, but you are not getting a chance to have this happen again for a very, very long time. Don't squander it.
Insert New Day's joke about Charlotte here.
Moving on to Raw, unless you have more SmackDown stuff you want to...
No, I'm good.
Moving on to Raw, we had a very nice CM Punk reference.
Yeah, I gotta give props to whoever wrote that joke for Stephanie.
You know what? Like, we're gonna send Stephanie out in front of Chicago. Like,
you knew it was gonna happen.
I'm very glad.
So I'm glad that somebody gave that to her to put it in her pocket.
Mm-hmm. And it almost feels like Chicago's like, all right, tip of the hat.
Yeah, like it immediately stopped the chance. I was like, wow, they found a way to stop it.
I will say this for Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago is the most organized mess of chaos.
As far as chants go, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I am getting to the point where even I, like, again, like, were there any bigger CM Punk marks than the two of us? Like, back when we started this thing? Like,
yeah.
But even now, we're like, okay, no, we just chill with the CM Punk's chant.
The CM Punk chants. Here's acceptable CM Punk chanting rules. CM Punk chant serves very well as a I don't like this match chant.
Okay.
If Big Show and Sheamus are having a 45-minute match on Raw with three commercial breaks,
yeah,
then you can start chanting CM Punk. It's the equivalent of chanting for the commentators.
Yeah.
Because I don't really like the boring chant.
No.
And I don't know why.
But, well, I mean, and sometimes it doesn't feel earned. You know, like, they'll do it before they even give a promo a chance,
mm-hmm.
you know. Or they'll just doing it just because somebody's talking in the ring. And I'm like, it's WWE pro wrestling. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah. So that is acceptable.
Fine.
CM Punk chanting.
I will
see
that.
Is a way of saying, I don't like the current product.
Right.
I am chanting for something that can't happen.
Right.
And because that also, you know, that bugs people in the back. Like, if they're chanting for, like, Macho Man, which also can't happen.
Sure.
It'll be like, ah, but they love what we did before. If they're chanting for CM Punk, it's like, ah.
Right.
So that's acceptable. Or if it's the top of the show in Chicago.
Yeah.
Those are the two times it's acceptable to chant CM Punk.
Yeah. I'll agree. If you're, like, in, Hoboken, New Jersey, like, chanting CM Punk, you're just like, why?
No. Stop it.
It's like, stop it. You're just being a nuisance.
But that's the thing, like, they rallied around and they booed the crap out of Roman Reigns.
They did. That was refreshing.
Like
oh, man, these big cities still hate him. Nice. Because, you know, you go to the smaller cities and there's, you know, even some of the bigger cities is kind of starting to get lost.
They are booing Roman Reigns on principle.
Yeah.
Like, he did nothing wrong this week. He's not done anything wrong in the past several months. Like, there's been some, like, eh.
Sure.
And there's been some dangerous, like, oh, they're going to put, this is the push, I can see him.
Right.
But it hasn't really happened, and it definitely hasn't happened at the level
that
of WrestleMania 32.
Right.
So, like, that, I feel a lot more of, like, if you're a kid and you love him and you want to cheer for him, okay. Like, I'm not going to, you know, poo-poo on that party. But, like, on principle, Chicago would not have that. I was like, all right. They're organized about it, and they're committed to it.
Yeah. Another note from Raw. That was a pretty sizable pop for whenever Dugan Stugan interrupted that tag team match.
Yeah.
I love just the no-look grab of a Christmas tree as, like, not even breaking stride. I was like, this guy, he's winning me over week to week. And I know Q's going to make fun of us for it because I don't know why, because he hates us having fun. I don't know. But this is starting to win me over.
We're not doing it right. We're not having fun the right way,
apparently,
Chris.
Apparently not. And to that, Hugh, you can go screw yourself. Mm-hmm. And I did like the thank you, Strowman chants.
Yeah.
Because do we really want to see... I don't even remember who the match was. Darren Young and Bo Dallas versus the Colognes, whatever their name is. Shining Stars. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think Shining Stars are very talented wrestlers, but man, that gimmick's stupid. So no, I was okay with it.
A stupid gimmick can trump all the talent in the world.
Sure. Yeah. Because I loved it when they were just the Colognes. And then Los Matadores, like, yeah, they're still talented, but man, that's stupid. And now Shining Stars, like, they're still great talents that I enjoy seeing in the ring, but man, that's an awful gimmick. Like, they're 1-3.
Yeah. I mean, I'll also say, like, genuine great talent can sometimes trump a terrible, terrible gimmick. There's no, like, hard and fast rules here.
But I'm really digging what they're doing with Braun Strowman. Mm. That's right. I call him by his real name.
That's respect.
His real fake name. Yep.
So, all right. I want to ask you, what are you hoping for most in 2017 and the next 52 episodes of Raw and 52 episodes of SmackDown? If you can ask the wrestling fairies for one thing, what's it going to be?
If I could ask the wrestling fairies, just for one specific thing, because I mean, I was interested in seeing, you know, taking what they've established with the brand split and just continuing to branch out with that and continuing to build on the foundation they've put together. But as far as like one singular thing, I want to see a Brock Lesnar Nakamura match on a big pay-per-view.
Okay.
I want to see Nakamura be brought to the main event and be treated like the main event talent that he is, that you're seeing on NXT.
Okay.
I know the big rumor is now that Samoa Joe is going to be the next guy to come up, probably through the Royal Rumble, and then go up against AJ, so he's going to be on SmackDown. And there's so many things kind of in flux with NXT, with all these, you know, this wave of talent that they've signed, and you know, you don't know exactly who's going to kind of take the helm for when Nakamura moves up. I'm assuming Bobby Roode.
Okay. Yeah.
But again, this Glorious thing is kind of taking off so much, they might want to put him on the main roster quickly.
Well, he's also one like AJ Styles was, like, he was ready for the main roster day one.
Sure. Absolutely. And honestly, it might have just been a coin flip to see which one that goes to the main event or goes to the main roster and who doesn't. But that being said, I really love what they've done with Nakamura in NXT so far. His week to week matches aren't great, but that's kind of his thing. Like, he's not gonna put it all out there for have just a nothing match against, you know, a local.
Yeah.
So you're going to get that from time to time, but on the big stage, you know, there's no one like him. And I guess, I don't know. I'll use my wish for that, but if I could ever get a backup wish, and that is to have Hideo Itami have a healthy year.
Okay. You
know, I feel so bad for the guy, because I love him so much. Like, he's like, you know, Nakamura is like top, and then, you know, Hideo Itami's like, you know, top A.
Yeah.
You know, for me. So I really want to see him have at least one successful run in NXT and make it to the main roster before he gets any sort of injury again.
Yeah.
You know, and again, part of that is I want to see a, you know, Hideo versus Nakamura match, whether that's on NXT on the main roster, I don't care. You know, whatever the banners are, whatever color the banners are, I don't care. You know, I just want to see that match. So yeah, that would be my biggest thing. I would like to have Hideo Itami have a healthy year, and then Nakamura get put on the main roster and treated like he should.
Okay.
And same honestly goes for Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
But yeah. So what's your wish to the wrestling gods?
I think my biggest thing is,
if you say a John Morrison return.
No. I respect the realms of plausibility.
Fair enough.
But
if there was ever a time.
No, if there was ever a time.
I am hoping that, because I don't know what his time frame is, but I really do hope that they do still go through with Shelton Benjamin going to WWE.
I think, in all honesty, not, you know, flights of fancy hopefulness.
Yeah.
I think there is a path for a John Morrison return.
Yeah.
If he is interested.
Sure.
I'm not sure he should be interested.
No, he seems very content with Lucha and
he's a main star on Lucha. Right. He's the top tier guy. And if you're getting paid well to do that, also wrestling in that environment, you probably have a lot more time to do, because he has pursued movies and other stuff in the past. Mm-hmm. He is able to probably wrestle a safer, simpler schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And if he goes back to WWE, I would love it. But let's be honest, he's going to be a Rumble ladder matched spot guy.
Right. And that's probably what they were going to do with Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, although with the brand split, like, I feel like they
probably we need some more of those, because for the first time in ever, Kofi has a genuine character, exciting thing, and I don't want the New Day. I am worried.
You don't want New Day regulated to that.
I am worried that part of the thought process in breaking up New Day will be like, Kofi's got to do a thing, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so. I know that New Day has to break up. I don't want that to be the deciding factor.
But I would also deciding factor. I don't want to repeat it last year where only one member of New Day got into the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
You know, all three of them in there. Side note, because I totally forgot to bring this up when we were talking about SmackDown. Who do you think La Luchadora is?
I don't know if they know. Here's the thing. Do you think they know yet?
No, I don't think.
Or is this a Raw GM situation?
Yeah, I don't think the individual who was behind the mask on SmackDown is who will be in the mask whenever they reveal.
How long do you think they're going to keep doing this?
Hopefully not long. I'm assuming they might do one more match between Becky and Alexa Bliss. Or this might have been their last match. I don't know. And then Becky has a feud with whoever La Luchadora is.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, just because, you know, it's been pretty much confirmed that she's been signed and everything's kind of gone through, I'm assuming Mickie James.
You think so?
Yeah. And a lot of people were saying, oh, it's Naomi. I was like, that person was too pencil-like to be Naomi. You know, not saying anything bad about Naomi, but that definitely was not Naomi.
Yeah. So for my wish for wrestling of 2017... I wish that the brand split will continue in a way that each show continues to evolve individually and independent of the other.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen glimpses of that. We've seen promise of a future of that.
Yeah.
I would like that, so it's a big deal. I'm assuming we're going to get a draft at some point in 2017. I would like... The most exciting part about the draft was always... the draft was obviously really exciting, but one of the exciting things was the next week where a guy you weren't used to was there doing a thing, trying to establish himself, trying to recreate something.
Yeah. I'm hoping, honestly, like, I would be okay with the draft more being of bringing people up from NXT.
I think that should absolutely be a part of it.
And you can absolutely do trades and be like, all right, well, we'll give you this NXT pick in exchange for X superstar. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That way, you can still get that change of from show to show.
I don't want
a whole bunch of people just being moved over to from show to show.
No,
I like
the strategy aspect of it that the initial draft had. I'd like to keep that rather than the spinning the wheel.
Yeah.
So I'd like that. I would like, as always, I would like weekly matches to mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't have to be an over the top kind of thing, but the way that, like, for as terrible as the ending of it was, the best of seven match meant there were 7 weeks. There were 6 weeks is one on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But there were 6 weeks of this matches leading to something.
Yeah.
These matches are headed in a direction. And I would like more things like SmackDown this week, where it feels like
they're putting together like a pay-per-view card for, and those are probably going to be more likely to happen. Well, like, you know, at beginning of a month that's leading up to a major pay-per-view, because you're going to have that gap, you know, because otherwise it doesn't feel like they have a whole lot of time.
Well, and the big thing,
but set up for the next pay-per-view.
The big thing to come out from that, because they were like, three titles are on the line, so immediately like, okay, so one title's changing, two titles are staying. If you're going to do three titles on the on a free show, main title's going to go, and then so either women's or tag team is changing.
Right, ended up being tag teams.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. But that main title match was pretty incredible.
It was.
And that is a good... That is a fantastic free match, free TV match.
Yeah.
It used to be, once upon a time, I would always, when I would do these, like, wish for the future, it would always be like, I just want one good, like, incredible TV match.
Yeah.
A thing like the Punk and John Cena match that you know what I'm talking about.
Right. Or the championship match between John Cena and Shawn Michaels after WrestleMania 23.
Right. Or John Morrison and The Miz championship match at the beginning of 2011, I think it was.
Yeah.
And there's a few other ones. There was Daniel Bryan and Sin Cara had an out-of-nowhere amazing match on like SmackDown one time. One
good match that the original Sin Cara had.
Sin Cara had two.
Oh, he did?
Because of that one, and there was the initial match between Blue Sin Cara and Black Sin Cara.
Okay. I don't remember it much.
That was a really good match. It wasn't as good as the Daniel Bryan Sin Cara match.
Yeah.
But it was a really good match that was randomly on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So there are these, and I remember it should be like one a year to keep, and now, like, you know, no.
Yeah.
You're expecting me to watch this much wrestling on a weekly basis? I'm going to need a lot more than one a year really good match.
Yeah.
I believe
that cage match between Punk and Jeff Hardy, where if Jeff Hardy lost, he's done.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was on just the regular episode of SmackDown.
Well, they have these. They're capable of doing these.
Yeah.
I don't always get to watch a lot of this stuff live.
Right.
Especially as much as there is nowadays.
Yeah.
And I know I have till podcasting to watch
it.
So, but that's pretty standard 7 hours of wrestling if you include 205 and you include NXT.
Yeah.
So if I'm not watching it live, I'm very inclined to skip the matches.
Right.
I'll just like, let's watch the promo. Let's see what the story is, where it's going.
Yeah.
Let's see who's mad at who.
And you see the ending. If it looks kind of screwy, then kind of go back and,
and watch that's right. What happened. You hit the fast forward button. Oh, there's the ending of the match. That's the guy that won. It was a dusty finish. So there's the story progress. All right.
Sure.
I don't want that.
No.
I would like to be excited and enthralled.
Yeah.
There are matches out there. There are free TV matches out there that prove you are capable of being like, this guy versus this guy, what happens? And it'd be amazing. And it'd be back and forth. And it'd be nail-biting.
Yeah, like the duel this week.
Don't undercut my point.
Go on, sorry.
Nobody
mentioned Jack Gallagher this week. I was panicking.
There is no reason why these matches can't happen with semi-regularity.
Right.
We should... The classes... And we're getting ready to get to the classes in a second. But we have... Obviously, we have a match of the year. Classy award.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason why Raw and SmackDown matches should not be contenders for that.
Right.
Obviously, not all of them. I'm not asking for that.
And probably not this year.
No, not this year. But in 2017, I would like multiple Raw and SmackDown matches to be considerations for the classy match of the year.
Right.
So there's my wrestling wishes for the future.
Good matches. That's your wish.
Specifically, good TV matches.
Good TV matches. Okay. Congratulations. All right. So now we're going to go through the categories for the classies. Classies, of course, will be next week. So yes, this is a Vince McMahon announcement for the announcement.
This is an announcement for the announcement.
But we're going to go over some categories and we're going to discuss if we should make some changes because things have changed since last year. Surprise, surprise. Superstar of the Year.
We're going to keep that one.
We're going to keep it. We're going to change it up and say there's going to be a male superstar and female superstar of the year, like two separate categories, because we used to have Diva of the Year. We're going we're still going to have that this year, but we're going to change it, and this will be probably the last time.
We are going to tune in next week. We are going to send off Diva of the Year with the respect that title deserves.
Yes, with a very deserving award recipient. I sound like when I said that.
Obviously, we're going to have Match of the Year.
Yep. Video Package of the Year. That one's always sketchy on whether or not we want to keep that one or not. I'm okay with keeping it.
I'm good with keeping that one. I have my answer for that one already.
All right. Pay-per-view of the Year. I know that was one that we wanted to discuss.
Yes.
Because pay-per-view of the Year, by its name, is almost... doesn't count with NXT specials.
Since the network has come out, pay-per-view of the Year has gotten murkier.
Yeah.
And that comes down to how do network specials count?
Right. So should we change pay-per-view of the Year to just show of the Year, or do we do two separate categories?
I am willing to change pay-per-view of the Year to show of the Year, or I guess event of the Year.
I don't want to say network special of the year because last year my pay per view of the year was Wrestle Kingdom 10 or 9 at that point.
Yeah, I would say that pay per view becomes wrestling event of the year because, I mean, let's say randomly, like the Raw in Indianapolis on May 7th
was stunning. Right,
was for no reason like just. Flat out, jaw-droppingly stunning, and we needed to recognize that. Yeah. So I will say wrestling event of the year.
Okay, all right. I've gone and changed it on my notes.
Understand that that's basically pay-per-view of the year.
Right.
But official name change for clarification purposes.
Okay, so we got spot of the year. We're okay with leaving it as
spot of the year.
Storyline of the year.
Storyline of the year, which I think used to be feud of the year.
Right. I don't know why we changed that, but
I like storyline better.
Okay.
Because it might be a storyline involving more than two people.
Fair enough. Okay. All right. We already covered Diva of the Year. Most improved, biggest downfall. That's more of like a wrestler's momentum more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking about it. It's like the next one's a little similar, but not quite. Because next we have the Mark Henry Memorial Award. But that one's very specific. It is something that we assume was going to be awful, but turning out to be pretty good.
Yes. It was something that was supposed to suck that turned out amazing.
Right. And then we have the exact opposite, which was the Sin Cara Award, which was something that was supposed to be awesome.
Something we're really excited for.
And it ended up sucking dog doo-doo.
Incidentally, both of these could also be known as the New Day Award.
Yeah.
Because New Day was
last year, New Day won both.
Well, no, New Day... Last year, New Day won
Mark
Henry because it was something that sucked and then became awesome.
And then the year before that, it was the Sin Cara.
It was something we were really excited about and turned out to suck.
Then we have the Best and Worst Return.
Yes.
I'm okay with leaving that as is. And then we have the Best and Worst Turn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that staying as is. Is there any other categories that we want to bring up?
Do you have a Best and Worst Turn this year?
I do.
Okay, fine. We can keep it then.
Okay.
I don't have that yet. I'll need to go back and do some things. I would like to propose adding... Best, now that we have Raw and SmackDown as two separate shows, I would like to add Best Show of the Year. Obviously, because NXT would now be put in there, NXT would win everything.
Okay. So you're talking like show as a whole, not individual episode.
Right.
Okay.
That's Event of the Year.
Okay. All right. Now I'm seeing why you're wanting to make that distinction.
Yes.
Distinction. Okay.
I will
add that.
So, Show of the Year. So basically.
So. That will include Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah, I'd say so.
205 Live, which kind of goes into Cruiserweight Classic.
TNA.
If you want. You know, TNA episodes.
I mean, Ring of Honor. Anything that has a weekly thing.
Even if it was weekly on a limited basis in the case of Cruiserweight.
I would say so,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, and if you want, I'm willing to say like Breaking Ground can go in there.
Sure.
Holy Foley can go in there.
Right.
But...
Any sort of episodic structure.
I mean, any episodic storytelling, wrestling related thing.
So your winner is going to be the Edge and Christian show.
See, I've heard good things about that. I need to actually go back and check it out.
We kind of wrote that one off pretty quick
because I never got past half of episode one,
and it was pretty bad. I've never gotten past the first 15 minutes of the first episode of Holy Foley.
That's pretty good. I like Holy Foley.
I'm starting to dig story time a little bit.
Nope, I got past the 15 minutes of that one.
Is it because of that first?
Is that Ric Flair thing?
It's super creep, but they're much better after that. It just feels like Ric Flair is trying to make it sound like it's impressive, but it really just feels sticky. It feels really, really sticky.
All right, you got anything else?
Nope, that's it.
All right, as always, you can follow us on Twitter where we live tweet for @CRAttire.
Yep. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, if you want to make your own picks for the classies, you can send that over to our email and we will take it under consideration. Yes. Our email is classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or you write a review. That kind of stuff helps out the podcast, iTunes metric style.
Right. And if you are listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of projects we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.